Hello everyone and welcome to the third episode of the Vegan Rebrand podcast. I sit down with James from Omen Clothing, a ethically sourced clothing brand, to talk a little bit about the fashion industry, how you can make sure that the clothes that you buy are ethical, and what he's doing in general. It's an amazing chat. We actually had a beer afterwards and carried on the chat, so I'm sure there will be a part two, part three, or whatever to this. I hope you enjoy. Please subscribe, like, share if you like it, and obviously follow us over on Instagram and Omen Clothing also on Instagram. Links should be down below on the YouTube channel. Hope you enjoy.
Big fan of Russell Brand's Under the Skin.
Yeah, for sure. I watched that for a while.
I've just started getting into Philosophize This.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Have you started from the beginning? Or?
Yeah. Kind of start it all from the beginning. Yeah. Just get like the background of where it's come from. And I thought, I don't know that much about philosophy from kind of school or anything. So I just thought I'd start at the beginning.
Well, that's interesting because I've had the same thing. I started Philosophize This about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Tried to start from the beginning. And then I'm probably 10, 11 episodes in, and then I haven't come back to it. But I love it. I think it's amazing. And it's so important as well to look at previous knowledge like that.
Yeah, it kind of makes you question so many more things.
Like,
really changes your perspective.
Yeah. On how many episodes are you in?
Probably only about three.
I think.
It's quite early doors on that one.
Yeah. I always loved history, so it's just kind of come through like that, and the way he does it chronologically, it's quite different to a lot of podcasts in the way that if you want the full breadth of it, you probably have to start from the beginning. And he's it's funny, in the beginning of the podcast he seems to be really negative about himself. I listened to a really recent one and he was being really critical of how he was in the podcast of the ones. I thought, he's fine. He seems so normal.
I was quite enjoying them, and then he was like, "Oh, we're taking away the
rock and roll."
Yeah, the rock and roll. I was like, "Oh, mate, that's a cool bit." I thought that was awesome.
They were shocking me. I was like, "What?"
But then, like you said, like it does kind of like snap you back into
it.
Like,
does. Oh, I'm listening it does. Now again. Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I thought it was quite important.
Yeah. Anyway, as we're rolling, you are James. Second name?
Lambert.
James Lambert from Omen Clothing.
Yeah.
How long's Omen been going on?
So no. I set it up in my final year of university. Mm-hmm. So on the final term, we were given a final major project. And something I always wanted to do was kind of start my own brand. So I thought that's the perfect time to do it and kind of use all the knowledge and understanding I gained from like the 2 years previous.
Yeah. What did you do at university?
So I'd studied fashion promotion and communication.
Okay.
So not totally relevant to starting a brand, but the brand has a very ethical and environmental focus.
Yeah.
And I tried to tailor all the different projects I was doing at uni towards sustainability.
Oh, right.
So it was quite nice to kind of tie everything together into a brand and create something, basically. Yeah.
That's intriguing. Where did the interest in ethical clothing come from for you?
To be fair, at uni as well. I think I went to university thinking, oh, fashion is something I enjoy. I love buying clothes and all this kind of stuff. And then I kind of started to learn more about the industry and more about the negative effects that it was having on the planet, the workforce and everything. So that was quite interesting, learning about that. And for me, if I know something, especially if I know something is bad, I kind of, my conscience weighs quite heavily on that.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm studying fashion. Can I create something good out of this? And kind of challenge the status quo that the current industry operates in.
Yeah. Well, for anyone listening, I was saying to James before we started the podcast that I genuinely have almost no idea about the ethics of fashion. I've heard little tidbits. The last guy I had on, actually, he had his own clothing brand, Aesthetic Culture, I think. And he was also into that, but he was a personal trainer, so I was talking to him all about that kind of stuff. But I've heard little bits about fast fashion and issues around that. Do you have, like, it must be a huge topic, as to, like, where fashion can do better, but if you could give me the headlines,
the headlines, okay.
The just basic headlines,
sure,
what would be the kind of issues?
I think it's interesting that you say, like, yourself, you don't have much of an understanding. I don't think a lot of people do, to be fair. When people think about environmental impact, especially relating to different industries, fashion isn't necessarily one that pops up. When I was studying, I found a statistic that it was like fashion industry is the second biggest contributor to CO2 emissions.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that is correct. I've seen other things that says it's maybe perhaps the fourth biggest industry.
Yeah, I just saw third like 10 minutes ago.
But it's definitely up there, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem comes from how you're making the materials. So cotton, probably one of the biggest materials used in garments for t-shirts and everything like that. Yeah. So it uses a lot of water.
Okay.
And if you're not using organic cotton, you're using a lot of pesticides as well. So that crop can grow all year round as cotton, whereas organic cotton is a bit more... So a few months a year, you'll grow cotton, you'll get your cotton yield, from that you'll make your t-shirts, and then the farmer who's farming that land can then grow, vegetables or whatever else. To kind of refresh the ground so it stays a bit...
Good for
other sorts of farming.
But
yeah, I think water's a big issue. Other environmental impacts, probably from dyeing clothes.
Yeah.
So denim or even dyeing cotton. It's all, when you kind of get into it, it's like every element has some sort of some sort of issue, and it's somewhat hidden because of the kind of the fashion facade of like being a very kind of sexy industry where you don't really think about the nastier sides of things. Where I think perhaps where the food industry is a little bit harder to hide from that. As well as
Very direct.
And especially with like the oil industry and energy industry, it's hard to hide away from
more from that,
especially when you're seeing smoke plumes or food waste. It's very visual, whereas for clothing it's they can get away with it a bit more, I think.
Yeah, and so your angle obviously is that there's a different way to do things. With that very specific, you know, cotton taking up a lot of water and so on, how, you know, what is the alternative? Is there one? Or
so the traditional methods of cotton, I think the direct replacement would be to use organic cotton, as mentioned. There is a bit of a debate about whether using recycled fabrics is better, or whether it is in fact better to use organic cotton. I think the issue from recycled materials comes from, if t-shirts say part cotton, part polyester, I think it's quite difficult to get the polyester and the cotton apart. And then if you are recycling it and you're putting polyester into the cotton to kind of make it a bit stronger and to get those qualities, then the recycled polyester can kind of leak into your water and then end up in the ocean. So it's really like there isn't a one way to solve it.
Yeah.
But there is definitely better methods than the traditional methods.
So what does Omen do, for example? You know, what makes Omen an ethical brand?
Sure. So I think from the outset I had the mindset of, how can I make this the most environmentally and ethically responsible clothing brand as possible? And that's, how can I make it possible? If I had a lot more money, I could do a lot more things.
Yeah, of course.
But
I love that.
So I found a supplier. I was based in Southampton, and weirdly enough, the supplier I used was in the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
So they contract their whole supply chain.
Yeah.
From India, where the cotton's grown, to where the, so it's grown, then it's transported to be kind of spun into t-shirts, and then it's shipped over to the UK via ship, and then printed in their factory using, I think their factory's run by using, what is it? It's, I think, solar panels and like wind farms.
Oh, wow.
So
it's
I'm not sure if it's carbon neutral, but it's definitely environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
or as environmentally friendly as it can be at this current time. And then it was shipped over from the Isle of Wight to me, which in the grand scheme of things is quite a short distance to travel. I know it's come from India, but cotton's got to grow somewhere, right? So yeah, from that aspect, I think traceability is quite important to show its environmental impact.
Yeah.
And then it also gives the consumer the idea, oh, it's come from India, I don't really want to buy that, I can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fair enough, you probably could. But for a small-time brand using very, very small quantities, I struggle to find a better alternative.
Yeah. I love that. Because I think there's so much to be said for everyone trying to do their little bit. And I love that you've gone like, look, I'm going to do this realistically. If I had loads of money, I would do it differently. But, you know, it's just like that. You just have to be able to do what you can, and it's amazing that you have done what you can. I'm just interested because you said you were based in Southampton. I come from Winchester.
Okay, yeah.
Did I tell you that? I'm not sure.
I think I heard it on an earlier podcast.
Oh,
actually,
maybe, but yeah. But how come you're in Southampton? Was that the uni?
So I was at Southampton Solent Uni.
So I got a couple of mates there. Okay. And how long ago did you sort of graduate from there?
So I graduated last year.
Last year. And then you came to...
Came here
Brighton,
literally a year ago, actually.
So why did you come to Brighton?
So my girlfriend at the time was working for the Body Shop.
Okay, yeah.
And then now she works in Brighton.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, oh, I'll come over, find a job. Nice to be by the sea.
Yeah,
like
makes
a good
sense.
Vibe, especially being vegan as well. Like, it all kind of...
Oh, yeah, I mean...
So it was a perfect hub for that.
Yeah, Brighton is... It is crazy because I went to Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago with my girlfriend, and... Even in Amsterdam, which is still very sort of hipstery, in a similar way to Brighton, you know, you do realise how it really does depend on where you live as to how easily you can eat vegan, vegetarian, you know, fine place. There are lots of places in Brighton that are vegetarian leather and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about vegetarian leather, like, because the common belief that I've heard is that it's just nowhere near as good, or like, what do you think?
Yeah, so that's kind of one of the problems we have at the moment. So my girlfriend and I are both vegan, but we haven't got to the point of buying vegan shoes yet.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've wearing leather shoes now, and I had these before I turned vegan, and it doesn't make sense to me to throw them away.
Yeah, exactly.
Vegan shoes. I'm not sure. I think they're very popular at the moment with, I think it's Phasia is the trainer brand. I don't know how the quality compares to actual leather. I think the reason why so many shoes are made of leather, because they last and they're durable and they have so many good qualities. I'm sure that can be replicated through kind of plastic alternatives, or whether it's from, I think there's some that are made out of like pineapple peel or like some crazy like kind of science lab developments coming along, and it's getting there. But for the minute, I think if you're going to buy them, do your research.
Yeah.
See what the reviews are.
Yeah.
Someone also said to me that vegan trainers get incredibly hot in the summer because they don't like breathe or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that's an interesting thing.
That is interesting.
I'm not sure how true that is and for what brands and things, but. Yeah, I guess just doing your research and not getting fooled into certain high street brands and fast fashion retailers saying like, oh, vegan shoe collection, because it probably is just plastic.
Yeah. I wanted to show you something, actually.
But yeah.
I'm not sure if you've seen this bad boy, but you know, I go to BIM. I had a bit of a 18-year-old rock and roll phase for a minute. And this is just like a leather... I wasn't vegan or vegetarian at the time, but I just find it quite funny that I have, I have it hanging up now. I can't bring myself to wear it anymore because obviously if I'm doing this, it's and I rock up in a little red leather thing. It's quite funny, but...
I've got things in my wardrobe that aren't vegan. And it's quite interesting how when you start to learn about things, it changes your mindset and you're like, should I be wearing this? But, I mean... It's probably going to outlast a plastic alternative.
Yeah, it's true.
It's still looking in good shape. So,
yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, I mean that is funny though, because I, you know, that was a bit of a impulse purchase, yeah. Really. So I don't think I'd wear it really anymore anyway. But exactly. But it's a funny one. It's a funny one. How you represent yourself, and obviously what I'm doing at the vegan rebrand. It's just me. I'm trying to talk about people being more accepting of just like the. Because you get a lot of, if you go on Twitter, for example, you get a lot of very angry vegans.
Yeah.
And I personally think that it gives the kind of whole idea of veganism, which is actually a very, very loving thing, a bit of a bad rap.
Sure.
So kind of what I'm trying to do is spread a message about being a little bit more tolerant about, you know... encouraging people to cut down at least a little bit is amazing.
Yeah.
And as we were saying, like with the clothing stuff, anything you can do is amazing. Did you hear about this week in Hove, they did the hands round the meat aisle thing?
No, I didn't hear that.
Did you hear about that? What do you think about that stuff?
this is kind of an interesting topic, because how far do you take it?
Yeah.
And how far do you pressure people?
Yeah.
I think for me, if someone had told me directly all the problems and you need to solve this, you can't do this anymore, I wouldn't have listened.
Mm.
And
yeah.
My girlfriend went vegan before me,
yeah.
Which didn't necessarily make me want to become vegan.
Mm.
To be honest, I was probably quite opposed to it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, oh, there must be some reason behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went out and did my own research.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so valuable, like
mm-hmm.
so crucial to... for everyone, if you're questioning something, to kind of take a step back, be like, okay, I'm going to do a bit of research. If it resonates with you, then great. If it doesn't, then you know.
Because I have pretty much exactly the same story. My girlfriend went vegetarian, and then because I would just take the piss out of it before, and then she went vegetarian and went, oh, I actually kind of respect her and think she's quite clever, so
yeah.
I must be missing something, and then did the research and went, oh shit, yeah that probably is quite bad what I've been doing, let me just redo this. It cuts out sometimes, but do you have many male friends who are vegan, vegetarian?
Because
I don't.
It's definitely more female friends for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I heard you saying on an earlier podcast about kind of feeling a little emasculated perhaps by veganism. And yeah, I can see where that comes from, because of the whole like, oh, I eat meat to be a man kind of thing. And
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's your opinion, how you kind of, how that makes you feel. Like for me, I don't really get affected by it now. I guess there's certain people that I'd feel a bit like, oh, they're going to judge me a little bit.
Yeah.
But on the whole, if you can kind of explain yourself why and kind of make them think, oh, that's fair enough for you, reason yourself, and you know, it's probably not something to worry about. But yeah, it's interesting how more girls I think are vegan than.
But I mean, if I put up adverts for the vegan rebrand like months ago when I first started, probably around when I started talking to you,
so we
haven't done this for we've been trying to get this together for ages, crazy. But yeah, I put out adverts, and the response rate, it was great, really good response, but it was 95% women.
Really? Okay.
How interesting is that? 95%, that's a lot of women. I think if you look at, I mean, I'm obviously just bouncing this off you just because I'm interested. But I think if I look at, say, the YouTubers my girlfriend watches versus who I watch, they're a lot into obviously fitness, beauty, and so on, and that always seems to be coupled with a kind of ethical sort of standpoint. I'm just kind of musing, I don't really know.
So they kind of have a bit more of an exposure to it,
perhaps.
I mean, I really don't watch many YouTube kind of lifestyle things. I think for me, a lot of my knowledge and exposure comes from documentaries and podcasts, I guess. So if I hear something through that, then that's more likely to change my perception.
So the classic Netflix documentaries, or?
Yeah, to be fair, the whole reason I went vegetarian before, so I was veggie for 2.5 years and then been vegan for about a year now.
Yeah.
It was Cowspiracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
That's the big one.
Same. Cowspiracy. I couldn't bring myself to watch some of the slaughter ones.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? If I can't do that, I really shouldn't be eating meat. So, and then I was like, okay, so I watched Cowspiracy. I was like, yeah, I mean, and then I went vegetarian. I was like, oh, now I'm saved from having to watch these other ones. Because, I feel like if I'm not eating meat, I don't have to watch them.
Yeah, we tried to watch one of them. I'm not sure what it was, maybe Earthlings.
Yeah.
And that's extreme. It was getting horrific, so we did end up turning it off. But, I mean, yeah, it's... I think veganism is interesting because you're vegan for different reasons.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of... Everyone thinks, oh, it's to save animals, or it's... That's kind of the main draw, I think people think.
Yeah, that's the perception.
But for me, with Cowspiracy, a lot of it was about sustainability and animal agriculture, which I literally had no idea about before. So I guess what ties in with Omen and that being sustainable, it kind of made sense to kind of lessen my impact on the planet through what I was eating and drinking as well.
Yeah. Are there any big brands that you would say are actually pretty good ethically?
I think the big one's probably Patagonia.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably because they started with that in mind, I think.
Yeah.
And they're not driven by growth.
Yeah.
They're not crazy about money and making money.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely stand out as one of the leaders. There's quite a few smaller brands. And that kind of begs the question, is it easier for smaller brands than bigger brands to do it? I think probably from the starting off point, yes. But then there's people like Stella McCartney, Vivienne Westwood, who are also quite quite conscious with what they produce. And that's kind of filtered into the likes of Adidas and Nike with their collaborations with people like Parley for the Oceans, where they're using like reclaimed plastics from fishing nets in the sea and making them into trainers. So there's a few brands out there. I think all it takes now is just a quick Google search,
Google.
And you get a long list of who's doing what. And it's not necessarily that a whole company is good, but they've perhaps got like green initiatives or things like that. There's definitely a few out there.
And do you see it getting better or offset?
I hope so. Yeah, I think it's... The question is whether it's a trend or whether it's like a fad. I'm of the opinion that it's a trend because I think it has to be a trend. I think the way the world's going with its consumption and its effect on the planet and its resources, it's got to change, and that change is being driven by consumers, I think. Seeing Greta Thunberg in the news recently with all the things she's been doing with politics and things, it's just applying that pressure. Which I think is incredibly important for changing business.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So obviously when I contacted you probably 2 months ago now, you were talking about going to the Copenhagen
Fashion Summit.
And you said that you'd fill me in a little bit and anyone listening on sort of what went on there and what you've seen. So just as a firstly, how was it? Was it nice?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was good. Very few intense days, but it was
really?
it was good. Yeah.
Was it just 2 days or?
So I was part of the Youth Fashion Summit, which kind of joins on to the Copenhagen Fashion Summit when it's on. So I think there's about 3 days of kind of workshopping with other students. And then on the final day we went to the Copenhagen Fashion Summit and we kind of started the day off. We were on the stage and presented our findings and what we've been working on over the last few days.
Cool. Yeah. And so, like, what
so
else
what
did
is it?
You
yeah.
see? Yeah, what is it? And
Youth Fashion Summit, to start with, is kind of a collective of students and professionals from all over the world. Loads and loads of different countries, loads and loads of different schools. As a majority, people had a kind of a fashion background, or at least a sustainable business background. And then we're kind of all grouped together, split into different groups, and we're given tasks. So it's a 2-year program. Last year, it was kind of all about applying pressure to the industry in regards to two of the sustainable development goals, one being gender equality and one being, well-being. There's 17 of these sustainable development goals, which is perhaps a bit of a measurement for companies to look at and say how we can improve different aspects. It covers all sorts of things, whether it be like political, environmental, social, all things that kind of tie into to running a company. But anyway, so this year we were split into four groups and we all had to tackle one aspect of the supply chain or value chain.
Yeah.
So we got production.
Mm-hmm.
And we had production in the mindset of jewellery.
Okay.
So we worked quite closely with Pandora, which is based in Copenhagen.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we kind of had to figure out how we could use production to better gender equality in their value chain. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about jewellery production.
Yeah.
And didn't know much about the issues of gender equality either, especially in that field. So that was really interesting. So kind of the first steps was learning about those key things and then bouncing off each other, trying to come up with ways that we could make it better.
Yeah.
A lot of things were perhaps naive and
really,
you know.
Okay.
But then I think maybe sometimes that helps when you don't have a intricate knowledge of how something works. You can kind of chuck things at it and be like, oh, why aren't they doing this? And then you kind of think, ah, they're not doing this because of such a reason. So that was really interesting. And then we had one day where we worked our way around a load of industry professionals and kind of pitched our ideas to them and see how they received them and got feedback on that. Mm-hmm. And then basically it all boiled down to each team presenting. And then one team got chosen to be the winner.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it wasn't our team, but we did do very well. And then we all had to kind of condense what we'd been working on into, I think it was about 2 minutes, a 2-minute speech, which one of us would present on the stage that kicked off the Copenhagen Fashion Summit. So it was a lot of hard work, like intense days. But it was all worth it.
Yeah. And then the summit is, so that kicked it off.
So it kicked off the second day.
Yeah, the second day. So what happens otherwise, obviously that was your very specific bit, what happens otherwise over the...
So the Copenhagen Fashion Summit is, I guess, where all the industry leaders come together, a lot of fashion brands,
right.
Not just fashion brands, a lot of other industries come as well, but it is predominantly a fashion summit, and it's all focused around sustainability and what we're doing, what we're not doing, how it can be better and things like that. So... And there's lots of panel talks over the course of the 2 days. We saw, you know, kind of the big bosses of Nike speak, Adidas.
Okay.
Then you've got designers. I think last year, Stella McCartney was there. This year, Catherine Hamnett, I think, closed the Fashion Summit on the second day. Yeah. And that was really interesting because she was kind of no fucks given,
really
to the point, like, even was like, what are we all doing here? Why have we all flown to Copenhagen for the summit? Why have we used all this, like, energy, CO2 emitted to fly everyone in, all the celebrities that are here?
Yeah.
We should be doing this over webinars. And that raises a really interesting
does
question, because it's like, why are we doing that? I think perhaps there does need to be a location where people gather, because the networking that people do into business wise into industry wise is so crucial, and there isn't really isn't really a platform, LinkedIn, but it's not personal, is it? So
that's a funny one. I never even considered that, but I guess the issue with that is that you can look at you can look at every single thing you end up doing and just, you know, not be able to live at all, I suppose. But that is And that, and was that her main point?
That wasn't was her main point. That was just one of the kind
just
of,
one of the many.
I mean, she was on a bit of a
bit of a rant.
I don't want to say rant, but yeah, it was a bit like a rant. She was kind of just turned around to it and it's like, what's that we're doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? People are saying they're changing, they're not necessarily changing, or they're greenwashing or whatever. She raised a lot of good points. It's all on the Copenhagen Fashion Summit website, so if anyone wants to check it out, give it a look. And also we're on there as well, opening the second day, so awesome. That will kind of give a better insight into what we did, other than my kind of brief
cool. And obviously all links I'll chuck below and everything, and hopefully people want to click through, because it is really interesting. Another thing I guess we touched on earlier, but looking, because obviously you are a clothing brand as Omen, and you've successfully done a fair amount of looking into the ethics and the sustainability of how you source things. For businesses who want to start trying to think about sourcing clothing a little bit better, what would be, just because you were saying looking at how close distance wise things are and so on, what would be the main sort of factors you would sort of want to look for to say something sustainable or just make something better ethically, sustainably, whatever?
I think it's a big challenge as well, because for companies, from working in the industry as well outside of Omen, I can kind of see how crucial margins are and the cost price of a garment. And if you're bringing a sustainable, or I don't know, whether it's, you know, organic cotton price compared to traditional price, is not anywhere close on perhaps the quantities that I'm seeing. So kind of getting your perception around value and how costly it is, and then seeing how actually the initial cost can benefit you in the long run.
Yeah,
and that customers actually want or would prefer a more sustainable product.
Yeah.
So I think perhaps companies just have to take the risk, dive in, and, or maybe not dive in, but start with one part of your range. Yeah. Maybe make all your t-shirts organic cotton, and then you work on your shirts, and then your suits, and then your whatever else. But start somewhere. I think is the first place, and whether it's fabric or whether it's distance. Probably fabric's more important. I don't know. I couldn't quote you figures, but
okay,
that's what jumps to mind.
And so what is the future for Omen? What's happening at the moment? Where are you going?
So hopefully getting some new products in.
Do you design them? Sorry.
I do, literally a one-man team at the moment. So I try and do it all. I've got some designs in the pipeline. But I don't want to kind of overload the website with products. It's very minimal at the moment. Which I think is important, because if you create too much stuff, you have to have sales, and then that kind of reduces the message. Hopefully get some new products out soon. Maybe not just t-shirts, not just jumpers, but some maybe sustainable jewellery.
I think that's a great
accessories.
Idea. Because this is all going to become more and more, obviously there is a certain amount of publicity around it and interest in it, but this is going to become more and more and more of something people are interested in. And it's incredibly important someone supplies it. You know, I hadn't even thought of jewellery within this whole thing as well. So would you design the jewellery, or?
I don't know. I don't really have any experience with that, but I could kind of give someone the idea of what I'd want to do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe like pendants or
kind
of very like streetwear based things.
But
is that the camera dying?
Yeah, it's gone again, which is good.
I was just going to mention Pandora actually, about being very sustainable.
Yeah, we're back. It's okay. We just lost an image for a second. We've got the microphone on, so. Pandora.
Yeah, so you touched on jewellery. And Pandora raised an interesting thing. I'm not sure whether it was this year at the Youth Fashion Summit or the year before, but they were saying how, I think, I want to get my facts and figures right here, something like 95% of their silver is recycled.
Wow.
And maybe like 74% of their gold is recycled as well.
Right.
But they have the issue where they can't say that to customers, because customers will say, well, if it's recycled, why is it not cheaper? So that kind of perspective of something being recycled making it less valuable is interesting. But yeah,
it's
quite an interesting point of view.
For the last three podcasts I've had my mind blown by, you know, one particular statement, and that might be the really? Statement of this podcast. But it makes total sense, because people will go, if it's recycled, why isn't it cheaper? And you do think, with a lot of jewellery, you do think, bloody hell, why isn't that cheaper?
And with Pandora especially, like, it's expensive stuff.
Yeah.
It's not cheap by any means, but they said, like, they can't really market in a way that's sustainable.
Surely they can find a way.
This is perhaps last year, so maybe they've found some way to overcome it. And to be honest, I think perception's probably changed over the last year as well. If there's anything between the difference between the 2 years, it felt like the pressure on the industry is so much higher now.
Really? Okay.
And everyone's like, we're running out of time. This year was, like, I think, the 10th anniversary of the Copenhagen Fashion Summit.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, in 10 years, what have we achieved? We've talked about it a lot, but how much have we actually put into place? What have we actually changed? And that was a really interesting point, because it's like, well, how long is it going to take?
Yeah.
And who's going to step forward and be the change? Yeah.
And we've just had that announcement that, what was it, 12 years, 11 years till climate change is irreversible?
Slick and grim, yeah.
So, bloody hell, that is very grim.
Yeah, the pressure's on.
Pressure is on, but I suppose the positive thing is that you can see the pressure rising in the, you know, even I saw a BBC post recently about talking about how, maybe reducing meat might be a good idea. Mm. And, you know, from something that is so widespread, that can only be a good thing. Were you part of... Oh, I just forgot the name. In London, protest.
Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah,
I wasn't, actually.
You weren't. Did you know anyone?
I work very close to Westminster.
Mm.
I saw a lot of the people going down there and campaigning.
Yeah.
I would have done if I had free time. Something I follow quite closely on Instagram, things would love to be a part of, but no, I can't. I wasn't myself.
I was the same. I didn't, unfortunately, have the time. I was elsewhere to do it, but yeah, it is interesting. And that was a huge statement.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, very notable how it felt like it went on longer than a lot of other stuff goes on. It feels like people have finally kind of starting to, I mean, I say finally, I've been a veggie for a year, started being vegan very recently.
Oh,
so
cool.
I don't know why I'm saying finally, but, you know, it has been a long time and perceptions are still, you know, taking a while to change. Is there anything you want to talk about really otherwise?
I guess, actually, I didn't realise you'd gone vegan. I think in the first one you said you tried it and then you were veggie. How are you finding it?
Oh, well, I mean, I've got to be honest, it's only been 2 weeks.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But honestly, whilst I was veggie, I was predominantly vegan.
Yeah.
In that weird way. So I guess I'm still in, I haven't had a elongated period where I have only been vegan. So I probably would classify myself, you know, from my track record as probably still veggie, but I'm really trying now to do it. And the issue with me is, as I said on that first podcast, is when I go home, I was just at home, my mum makes amazing cakes, and my girlfriend's dad loves cheese and has the most amazing cheese.
Yeah.
So it's that's the thing with it, and it's kind of, and especially for some people, they find it rude if you turn it down. But I just watched a little it was a TED talk, I'll link it actually, because it was amazing, from I think it was the guy who directed Earthlings or something.
Okay.
And he was going through I think it was called All the Reasons Not to Go Vegan. So he went through every single reason and just absolutely destroyed every single reason, And it was, you know, the comments are all like, this is the, I came to hate, but actually this is the craziest thing I've ever seen, kind of thing. And yeah, I'll send it over to you. Yeah, and I literally just watched that, and it is like, well, do you want cheese? And, you know, and having all that harm and doing the, you know, keeping cows pregnant for a stupid reason, stupid amount of time. You know, is it really enough to justify you wanting something for your taste buds? I guess, yeah, it's not. But it's still hard when my mum makes a nice cake to be like,
yeah, likewise.
Can't do it.
My mum actually is very supportive now.
Is she?
Me being vegan, and nice. Like whenever my girlfriend and I go up there, she's always made like vegan cakes.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Which tastes just as good.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
So it's really, really nice when family members and friends like kind of jump on board.
Yeah,
and,
for
and
sure.
Support it makes
for
it
sure.
so much easier.
For sure. Yeah, my mum's super supportive, bless her. But she's just got her. She's very good. She's always been a very good cook, and so she has her recipes that she's.
Yeah.
She kind of are the trusted ones, so it's kind of hard to get out. I do feel for people who are sort of, you know, 40, 50 kind of age, because you've, I mean, most people at that age have brought up their kids, you know, as omnivores or whatever, and, you know, it's very easy for us that, I'm 20, how old are you? 23. To kind of, you know, make the switch, but for them, it's just ingrained more, even more.
Yeah.
Do you see, that's not really similar in fashion, I imagine, because fashion, you're not making your own stuff. I guess what I'm asking is, do you see a similar amount of older people invested in this sustainable fashion idea as younger people, or is it a mainly younger people thing, or... What's your perception?
That's an interesting question, actually. I'm not sure. Perhaps more younger people? I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, it's mindset, perhaps.
Yeah.
And who's kind of engaging with the content that's telling you it's bad and
telling
there's issues with it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Perhaps it's more level than food, I'm not sure, because it's not like... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one. There must be some statistics out there, but...
There must be, yeah. I had another question, but it's gone. You okay to finish up?
Yeah, all good.
All right, brilliant. Well, I want to shake your hand on camera.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing. Obviously, all the links to Omen below. Got any dates when things might come out or not?
Oh, not sure. I don't want to commit to anything.
Don't want to commit to anything.
Soon.
Yeah, go and have a look. Cheers, James.
Yeah,
thank you. I'll turn it off now. Thank you so much for listening, if you're still here. The next one should be with we've got a couple of vegan influencers coming up, talking about what they're doing, how they see sort of culture move towards veganism, possibly, or move away from veganism. I'm not sure. We've got a couple of food companies interested, who obviously make delicious vegan alternatives, such as possibly a donut alternative, which I'm very excited about. Hopefully they'll bring free samples. They probably won't. If you liked it, please subscribe, like, follow. It's absolutely amazing that you've listened this far. I'm very happy with how this podcast has gone. See you later. Bye.